Begin. Bismillah, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa malah, amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah, we're taking a look still on the third section of the broad section of this book. And more specifically, we're taking a look at the sixth linguistic maxim. And so the subject matter is fil qawa'id al-usuliyya al-lughawiyya, the principles of linguistic legal maxims, and we're taking a look specifically at al-'am wal-khas, or you could say al-'am, the general and its and the specific, you know, the contrast of it. What is general, what is specific, and the evidence therefrom. So what do we mean by general? Al-'am, pretty straightforward, includes all members of its category. So for example, if you say the statement kullu mu'minin fil jannah, wa kullu mu'minin fil jannah wa kullu kafirin fil nar. If you say every believer is in heaven and every disbeliever is in hell, this is a general statement. It includes what? Every, obviously. Same thing with man alqa silahahu fahuwa aminun. Whoever throws away their weapons will be safe. So it's a general statement. It's a general prescription. So this is what it means by general. Pretty straightforward. Obviously, things always start pretty straightforward and then they get more complicated. But we'll see how that goes. Now, when it comes to nakira, the word nakira means indefinite, whereas ma'rifa is definite. You know, the difference being usually the letters alif lam. Alif lam means the, right? A book versus the book, right? So in this case, you'll find that am usually has a ma'rifa, is definite, whereas nakira, indefinite, is different. So let me clarify. Am is different than nakira because nakira can be used for anyone in a category without referring to each person in that category. So insanun, a person, refers to a single person, a part of the general group of human beings, even though any person can be described as such. Whereas al-insan, the person, the human being, is considered am because it's referring to the category, you know, the entire genus, you could say. The entire genus or the entire category of human beings, they are being spoken about. So when Allah Ta'ala, for example, says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Indeed, the human being, or man, was created very impatient. Allah Ta'ala is using the term al-insan, the human being, as in every single one of the human beings is like this. They are created with a certain definite quality. You guys get the point here? That's the difference between insanun, a person, versus al-insan, as in the human, as in all humans have this category. So al, just a simple alif lam, making it definite, can sometimes cause this to be a am or general statement. I hope that's clear. This is different than al-am and mutlaq. So am meaning general and al-mutlaq meaning unrestricted. So what's the difference between these two things? Something is unrestricted, something is general, seems kind of similar. There is a difference. So let's take a look at what that is. Am is different than mutlaq because mutlaq can be used for anyone in a category without referring to each person in that category. So so it's very, very similar to nakira. So the example here is different though, so it clarifies. Mutlaq has the ability to exchange one for another. So for example, when Allah Ta'ala commands and says, for example, free a slave. If you do such and such a sin, then you have to free a slave, free a servant. A slave is a general term, it's mutlaq, because you can replace one slave with another. Right? So when Allah says free a slave, you could, you know, okay, what about maybe this one, maybe that one, maybe that one. It doesn't matter which one. The point is that you could pick which one you want as long as they're part of that category. So this is called umum al-badali. This is a am, it's general, but in a badali way. In a badal means to replace. So it's general in a replaceable way, in an exchanging way. Whereas am, on the other hand, is usually in reference to what? Including everything. So there is no replacing one with another. This is called umum al-shumuli. Umum al-shumuli, meaning that it is an inclusive general. So yes, this is the difference between the two. So if you're talking about like the human being, you're talking about all human beings, not one versus the other. So another way of describing the difference between am and mutlaq is am is all-inclusive, istighraqi, like the statement reward the students. So what does that mean? As in reward all the students. You go, principal walks into a classroom and tells the teacher, I want you to reward the students. He's talking about all of the students. They did a really good job. They got a good average, whatever the case is. All of them are going to get some sort of a prize, a chocolate bar, whatever the case is. Whereas the word mutlaq implies it's exchangeable, it's badali. Like the statement, reward some of the students. So then the teacher has to choose, should I choose this one or that one? You know, meaning if you don't choose one, you could choose another. You'd probably go based off of, you know, who has the best character or whatever. So Now, what is the terminology used for am? We've seen a small example of this, but let's get a little bit more specific. Certain words are very obvious. Words like kullu, every. Like when Allah says, kullu mri'in bima kasaba rahin. Every person is a pledge for that which he has earned. This is kullu, it's general, all of them. Or jami', all of, right? Huwa alladhi khalaqa lakum ma fil ardi, jami'an. It is he who has created for you all that is on the earth. Whatever is on planet earth, all, jami'an, it's for you. So this is general. Same thing with kafatan, collectively, right? وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَةً. Fight against the disbelievers or the polytheists collectively. So whether it be kullun or jami' or kafatan, all these words imply generality. Same thing with the word ma'shar, with a company. So there's an example of this in hadith, in which the Prophet says, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَا نُورَثْ. We, the community or the fraternity of prophets, we do not leave inheritance. This is a statement of the Prophet, ma'ashir, right? So it's saying, as a community, as a general reality, we don't leave any inheritance. Furthermore, the one that we talked about at the beginning, now we're going to get a little more specific, al-jam'u al-mu'arraf bi-al al-jinsiyya. So the al here, the word al, is making it definite, and it can be, it's what's giving a categorical, like the human being, or the animal, or the dog, or the cat. You're talking about the entirety of them. You're talking about the genus. That's where the word genus comes from, jinsiyah. So anyway, this is the plural known by the categorical al. And so, for example, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful. Notice that believers is plural. And you might ask, well, which believers? And the answer is, i.e., all believers. And this is in a plural example, that all the believers are successful. But at the same time, you can have this same concept of am in general, with regards to singular. Like for example, Allah says, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيهُمَا. As for the thief, not thieves, Allah says, as for the thief, singular, whether it be sariq, the male, or sariqah, the female, then amputate and cut the hand. So then the question is, well, it's singular, right? Yes, but the fact that السَّارِقَة and السَّارِقَةُ means what? That it is the category of them. That means all thieves. So whether it's a plural or whether it's a singular, both of them can apply to the entirety, the whole category of whether it be believers or thieves or whatever the case is. Hope that's clear. And there's also al-mu'arraf bil-idafa. So sometimes there's a construct phrase, right? So for example, Allah says, yusikumullahu fi awladikum. Allah instructs you concerning your children. Your children, the children of you, this is a construct, idafa phrase, and it implies all of your children, not some of your children, the entirety. Yani, it is am, it is general. Same thing with an-nakira fi siyaq an-nafi. When Allah Ta'ala gives the indefinite word in the context of a negation, that's also general. Because indefinite in the negative implies entirety. So for example, la ikraha fi din. Ikrah means compulsion. Allah didn't say al-ikrah. Allah didn't make it definite. Ikraha, yani, open-ended, general. لا إكراه في الدين, meaning what? There is no compulsion of any kind in the religion. So this is, again, عام, and the reason why it's general and عام is because it is نكرة and because it is نفي. It is indefinite and it is a negation. It doesn't just apply to negations, but also prohibitions. So for example, النكرة في سياق النهي, not نفي, but نهي. This is a prohibition. Allah says, ولا تصلي على أحد منهم مات أبدا. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, commanding the Prophet ﷺ to never pray over the hypocrites' bodies when they die, to never pray over top of them ever, right? So the word ahadin, none of them, is not a definite, it's not al-ahad or something like this, it is ahadin, it is a nakira, and it is in the prohibition. It is in the context of what? Commanding the Prophet ﷺ not to do this. So this is another example of terminology that is general, it's am. And then we have an-nakira fi siyaq al-shart. Indefinite in the context of a condition. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً آيَةً نَكِرَةً indefinite. If they were to see a miracle, as in any miracle, a miracle implies any kind of miracle. If they were to see any kind of miracle, they turn away and say what? سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ, that it is just passing magic. Or another translation is that it is persistent magic. And Allah knows best. Let's keep going. What other terminology do we find in the Qur'an with regards to al-am, general? Al-asma' al-mawsula, connecting terms like ma, whatever, men, whoever, or al-ladhina, those who. So let's give some examples. Uhilla lakum ma wara'a dhalikum. After Allah Ta'ala lists the women you cannot marry, like mothers and sisters and daughters, then Allah says, and lawful to you in marriage are all others, ma wara'a dhalikum, whatever is beyond that. So ma here is الأسماء الموصولة, it is therefore عام, it is general. Same thing with men, whoever. Like, قل من كان في الضلالة فليمدد له الرحمن مدا. Say, whoever is in error, let the most merciful extend for him an extension. So this is another example of men, whoever, it's عام, it's general. And الذين, those who, whoever, amongst this category of those who. So in Allah says, إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما. Indeed, those who devour the property of orphans unjustly, as in anybody who does this. This is again, الذين being used for عام, general. And then الأسماء الشرط, men, again the word men, we have it two more times, the whoever or who, but in different sentences. One is in the condition sentence, like whoever. So Allah says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So whoever cites the new moon of the month of Ramadan, let him fast. Men, whoever, عام. And then الأسماء الاستفهام, when it's in the form of a question. So for example, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. And who could possibly be better in religion than the one who submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So now that we have an idea of how عام is arrived at based on the many different types of wordings you will find, let's now take a look at the ruling. When something is general, what is the ruling on this thing? The answer is, wallahu alam, there's difference of opinion. Jumhur, the jumhur means a majority. The majority opinion is that the ruling is applied and the evidence is considered dhanniyu dalala. Dhanniyu dalala means what? It means speculative in nature. It is speculative. That means we're not 100% sure. It is speculatively. Why? Because there's still the possibility of exceptions. Whenever you make a general ruling, there's always the possibility of an exception if something is specified in more detail. Of course, like for example, if I say, you know, Muslims are very peaceful people. Yes, that's true. Well, is there exceptions? Well, yeah. Now we have to give the exception. What if I get attacked? Well, then I won't be so peaceful. I'll probably fight back, right? So there's an example of that. So that's why it's considered dhanniyu dalala, not qat'i, absolute. However, the Hanafi position seems to be that the ruling is applied and the evidence is considered qat'iyu dalala, absolute. Why? Because Allah stated it in an absolute way, so therefore it's taken as an absolute. So let's see how this plays out. The ruling on general statements, what is the how does this play out? What is the benefit here? What do we learn from this? It's called in Arabic, thamaratul ikhtilaf. Thamaratul ikhtilaf means the fruit of the difference of opinion. How can we see it play out so we understand how this works at play? So, regarding Allah's statement, when Allah says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, and do not eat of that upon which the name of Allah has not been mentioned. So you're not supposed to eat meat if Allah's name has not been mentioned upon it. Is this عام? Is this a general statement that we take as قَطْعِيُّ دَلَالَةً, as the Hanafis would say? Or do we take it as ظَنِّيُّ دَلَالَةً, like there's the possibility of exceptions? Well, the Hanafis say that this verse is general, therefore it is قَطْعِي, evidence, to not eat anything that that no name was mentioned on. Let's say there's a Muslim guy, he slaughters 10 goats, and one of them he forgot to say Bismillah before, right? Because, you know, you just go on fast, right? So you forget to say Bismillah one time. He says, oh, I forgot to say the name of Allah. And Allah says, do not eat that which upon the name of Allah has not been mentioned. So if Allah's name wasn't mentioned, therefore you throw away the goat. So some people would take it that, you know, literally. However, the Shafi'is would say that the general statement is dhanniyu dalala. It is speculative more in nature. Therefore, it can be rivaled by some other sort of qarina, some sort of extra evidence. And in this case, it's a mursal narration, which is also considered dhanniyu dalala. It's also speculative, in which the Prophet ﷺ says, there's some weakness to it, but still, the Prophet ﷺ says what? ذبيحه المسلم حلال ذكر اسم الله ام لم يذكر انه ان ذكر لم يذكر الا اسم الله. The slaughtered meat of a Muslim is halal whether he mentioned Allah's name on it or not, because if he were to remember to mention a name, he would never mention any name except for Allah's name. In other words, if the guy forgot, he still would have had he remembered, right? So the whole thing isn't thrown in the garbage. So this is a hadith. There is some weakness to it, but since it is now something khas, more specific to the am, the jumhur position seems to be, take the specific and leave the general. Whereas some people would say, no, just take the general and be very strict upon it. So I hope you guys see the thamratul ikhtilaf, the benefit here. And so, yes, let's keep going. The jumhur, unlike the Hanafis, allow for an ahad narration, a single narration, to specify, to yukhassis, to specify, to do takhsis of the general, of an am, statement of the Qur'an. For example, regarding divorce, Allah Ta'ala says, أَسْكِنُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ سَكَنْتُمْ مِنْ وَجْدِكُمْ. Lodge them, as in your ex-wives, lodge them, make sure that they live in a section of where you live, where you dwell, out of your means. So make sure that even though you've divorced her, She still, by the way, this is the, just as an imam, I could tell you, this is the ayah of the Quran, Surah Talaq, Surah 65, ayah number 6. Easily one of the most ignored commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just about every single time somebody gets divorced, they immediately separate homes. Right? You go, I'm mad at you, you're mad at me, that's it, divorce, I never want to talk to you again. I'm going to go back to my dad's house, or I'm going to move out, I'm going to move in with a friend, or this. Either the guy leaves the house and leaves the wife with the kids, or the woman moves out and goes with her family. Whatever the case is, you never see people say, listen, we just got the first talaq, so we have to spend the next period of time in the same house without actually engaging physically, just to see if we can, you know, warm back up to each other and so forth. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala. Now, is it a fard? Is it an obligation? It seems like the answer is no. Wallahu alam, because here is a khas. This is a specific hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, in which Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha, she reported, طلقني زوجي ثلاثا فلم يجعل لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سكنا ولا نفقا. My husband divorced me with the three pronouncements, and Allah's Messenger made no provision for lodging and maintenance allowance. So in other words, it's halal, it's allowed for you to divorce and get out of the house. But the command of Allah Ta'ala is to do what? Is to, you should stay together. You should stay in the same house. But subhanAllah, almost nobody ever applies it, unfortunately. Well, to be perfectly honest, most people don't know the fiqh of marriage or the fiqh of divorce, so they're going in blind anyhow. And then when it all goes bad, unfortunately, that's when they come to the imam and nothing. It's very sad because the imam doesn't have much power, right? We live in a Western country where we can try to give advice, but there's no government hand behind it. You know, it's not like a qadi, a judge that has, like, you know, the bailiff and the court system, and I can give a ruling. If you don't listen, if you don't make the payments, you can go to jail. Like, there's no power behind the imam. So he can give suggestions. It's kind of similar to zakah. Well, I can tell you how much you should pay zakah, but I don't have somebody going to your house and collecting zakah, you know? It's not a government institution the same way taxes are a government institution. So unfortunately, imams in this part of the world, and in most part of the world, most parts of the world are quite fangless, toothless, you know, powerless individuals that can give advice and hopefully people apply it. One brother said it really funny. He said, in the marriage process, everybody wants to be Muslim. The moment a divorce happens, apparently Islam is out the window. Then they're talking to their lawyers, and they're like, who cares what Allah says? Who cares what the imam says? How much money can I get, right? And so everybody just goes to their lawyers and forgets about Islamic law, just applies whatever law they want. So anyhow, bit of a tangent, let's keep going. Another example of the general being specified regarding marriage. Allah says, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ. Like we said that earlier, that Allah Ta'ala lists a number of people that you cannot marry. You can't marry your wife. Excuse me. You can't marry your mother, your daughters, your sisters. Allah Ta'ala, there's a list in this ayah, Surah Nisa, ayah number 24. Allah says you can't marry your mothers and your daughters and your sisters and so on, and your aunts and so forth. And then after that, Allah says, and lawful to you are other women beyond this. However, there's a special exception, which is what? Even though it wasn't mentioned in this ayah, the Prophet ﷺ specified one more category of women that cannot be married, which is the aunt of your wife. So you can't have two wives where one is your wife and the other one is her aunt, whether it be the maternal or paternal aunt of that woman. Not yours, but hers. I hope that's clear. So the Prophet ﷺ specified, لَا تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ عَلَىٰ عَمَّتِهَا وَلَا عَلَىٰ خَالَتِهَا. One should not combine in marriage a woman with her father's sister or her mother's sister. So, I mean, I assume that the reason why Allah Ta'ala didn't mention such a very particular point is because it's so extremely rare that anybody would even think of doing such a thing. But the Prophet ﷺ did specify that is another exception to the rule. Let's keep going. Regarding the death penalty, Allah Ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلِ. Prescribed for you is legal retribution for those murdered. In other words, death penalty. You kill somebody on purpose, not accidental manslaughter, but you actually go and murder somebody, then you are to be killed. What's it called? It's death penalty. However, the Prophet said what? لَا يُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمٌ بِكَافِرٍ. A Muslim should not be killed in retaliation for the murder of a disbeliever. So in other words, there is going to be some kind of a punishment, jail time, whatever the case is, there will be punishment. However, it will not be the death penalty, and Allah knows best. Regarding theft, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَاقْتَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. As for the thief, the male and the female, then amputate their hand. But the Prophet specified that, does that mean any kind of theft? What if I stole a lollipop? What if I stole a chocolate bar? It's too small in terms of a price. So the Prophet specified, تُقْتَعُ يَدُ السَّارِقِ فِي رُبْعِ دِنَارٍ فَصَاعِدًا. The hand of the thief is to be cut for one quarter of a dinar or more. So a quarter of a dinar, I have it in my old slides in a previous lecture, I talked about how much that is. it's a certain, I can't remember how many grams of gold, but basically in US dollars today, it's something like, do you guys remember what I said it was? In like a couple weeks ago, I talked about, I think it was like 800 plus dollars or something, was it? Something like that? I don't remember. It was many hundred dollars. Point is that you have to be a real thief doing a real, you know, not like a kid taking a, you know, chocolate from a store. Okay, let's keep going. Examples of general being specified. This is an interesting one. Regarding zakah of a farmer, there are two hadith that seem to conflict. One, the Prophet says, "Fima saqat as-sama'u wal 'uyun aw kana 'athariyan al-'ushr wa ma suqiya bin-nadhhi nisfu al-'ushr." That on the land irrigated by rain or by natural water channels, or if the land is wet due to a nearby water channel, then 'ushr, then only 1/10 is compulsory as zakah. Okay, and on the land irrigated by the well, as in the guy has to go and get water from the well because he has to do that extra work, then is only a half of the ushur. In other words, 1/20 is compulsory as zakah of the yield. But at the same time, the Prophet also said, "Laysa fima duna khamsati awsuqin min at-tamri sadaqah." No zakah is imposed on less than 5 awsuq of dates. Okay, so now I know you might be confused. Let me clarify this. So the Jumhur say that the first hadith is general and the second one specifies it. Okay, what does that mean? Therefore, let's take a farmer. This guy's a farmer. He produces 1,000 kilograms of apples in his crops. And this is specifically crops that he doesn't water. All he does is he's planted the trees, and because of rain, it's a tropical rainforest. He doesn't need to put any pipes or hoses or nothing. It just rains a lot. So it just gets produced, okay? Not that much work involved. It just grows. So the Hanafi position says that there is no nisab level. There is no minimum amount. Even if you only have a couple of apples, small amount, you have to give what? 1/10, right? If it becomes a lot, if it's a little, doesn't matter, it's 1/10. So regardless of the amount, the farmer must give 1/10 to charity, to zakah. However, the Jumhur, they take the second hadith that is giving what's it called? You could say the khas on top of the am. It's giving the specific on top of the general, and saying that it has to be 5 usuq. 5 usuq, which is roughly 653 kilograms. Therefore, since the guy has passed the nisab level, since he's doing 1,000, right? We said he's doing 1,000 kilograms. Therefore, he's clearly way past the nisab level. Therefore, it applies to him. The Jumhur say that the farmer only gives 1/10 of charity because the harvest is over the nisab level, 653. Anything beneath that is considered just yours. It's your personal yield. It's too small to be taxed on, basically. It's too small for zakat money. Hope that's clear. Let's keep going. Don't worry. I know today's a long one, but alhamdulillah, it's a good topic, inshallah. Three types of general. There are the general statements that are intended to be general, as in عَامٌ أُرِيدَ بِهِ الْعُمُمْ قَطْعًا. So there are statements that are general that are meant to be completely general. So an example of this is Allah saying, "And there is no creature on earth but that Allah is its that upon Allah is its provision." So Allah Ta'ala is saying, look, I provide for every creature. Is that's a general statement, and it's intended to be general. As in, it's absolutely across the board true. Everything exists because Allah Ta'ala, and there's no exceptions to that. So there's no specification needed. The general applies to everybody. Then there are sometimes general statements, but it's intended to be specified. So let me give an example. يعني عامٌ أريد به الخصوص قطعًا. That they are general statements that are intended to be specific. So an example here is when Allah says, it was not proper for the people of Medina and those surrounding them of the Bedouins that they remained behind. Allah is saying, you people were supposed to go to war. All you A'rab, all you Bedouins, you were supposed to get up, leave the city and go to war. Okay, this is a specific scenario, but the general idea is that there were certain hypocrites, they didn't want to go to war, but they were supposed to. So now, the general wording is that all of the Bedouins were supposed to get up and go to war. But aqlan, you know, logically speaking, the wording is general, but it's understood that Allah is referring to the fighting aged men. Allah didn't specify only the fighting aged men, because it's obvious that He's not talking about who? The blind man, the extremely old person, the sick person, etc. He's talking about fighting aged men. So even though the wording is general, it's very clear that it's intended to be a little bit more specific to the fighting aged men. Obviously, the elderly can't stay behind. They can stay behind. They don't have to go out to go to war. And there's no need to specify because it's obvious, it's given, it's logical. And then there is, of course, number three is the absolute general, it's amun mutlaq. An example is Allah Ta'ala mentioning that the divorced woman remains in waiting for 3 quru' for 3 periods. It's a general statement. The word qara' is ambiguous, and therefore there are no words specifying it because it's an ambiguous term, and therefore it's considered amun mutlaq. So anyway, let's close off last few slides, which is the difference between specifying and abrogation. Yani at-takhsis is so you have something am, a general statement, and then you have takhsis specifying an exceptional case, right? But then you have abrogation, that there was a ruling and then Allah Ta'ala removed it and abrogated it. It's two different things. So how do we know the difference? Abrogation removes the ruling completely, and you must be able to prove that it came after the first ruling. You have to be able to say, look, this was the first ruling, and I can prove that the second one came after to abrogate it. And that one wasn't practiced anymore. Like, for example, don't pray while you're drunk, but it's okay. You know, you can still drink, but then after that was, don't drink at all, right? So this was an abrogation. Slowly Allah Ta'ala was acclimating the believers to tougher and tougher rules. This happens. Same thing with temporary marriage. The believers were so used to sleeping around, having girlfriends and, you know, all sorts of affairs and stuff. So at least they were told, have temporary marriage for a little while, right? Be married to her with the intention of divorce. Get used to that. Then eventually, that was abrogated. You cannot do that anymore. The Shia say you can, but they're wrong about that. The Shia have temporary marriage still, but that's in their fiqh, which is wrong. The correct position is that is completely abrogated. Anytime you marry now, you marry with the intention of staying married forever. And only if circumstances change, then you seek out a divorce. You don't get married with the intent of saying, oh yeah, I'll divorce her in 6 months or whatever the case is. That's haram. Okay, so point is that, so it makes sense, it makes no sense that Allah Ta'ala would simultaneously command one thing and then abrogate it immediately right after. The specific, however, يعني العام والخاص, the general being given a specific condition, provides an alternative ruling for the general for a specific case. Specification on a general ruling can be revealed with the ruling itself, as in it can come simultaneously, it's not after. So one of them was after, this one can be simultaneous because it's saying, okay, here's a general, here's a specific, all at once. So an example of this is the general rule for slander. If a man goes around saying that, oh, this woman, I think she is having an affair with such and such a man, it's called qadhaf. You have to bring four witnesses. And if you cannot bring evidence, then you're going to get 80 lashes. Allah mentions this in Surah An-Nur, ayah number 4. At the same time as that was being revealed, in ayah number 6, also Allah revealed at the same time, that there's the khas, there's the specific. So the general is that they get 80 lashes, but what if the guy making the accusation is the husband himself? He does not get lashes, then he does li'an. Li'an is a mutual cursing. Both of them swear, wallahi wallahi, that I'm right, and he swears, he makes an oath 4 times, and the 5th time he says, and if I'm lying, then may Allah's curse be upon me, and she is supposed to respond back with the same thing. She's supposed to make an oath that she is innocent, and the 5th time she's supposed to say, and if I'm lying, may Allah's curse be upon me. And that is li'an, mutual cursing, and therefore they never get married again. That's it. They're done after that. But if they both do it, then there is no punishment on either of them. Nobody gets, nothing was established. But the only thing that was established is that they are done as a couple. They are completely done. Clearly this isn't abrogation because A, it's specific, it's a specific exception to the general rule, and B, these verses were revealed together. So I hope that's clear, inshallah ta'ala. Now, when it comes to al-mukhassis, you have a general concept and then something specifying it, right? A mukhassis, something that is saying, okay, this is the general ruling, but let's give some detailed cases that have exceptions to that rule. There are two categories. Al-mukhassis, al-mustaqil, the independent specifier, which has 6 different types. Al-takhsis al-hissi bil-hiss, which means specification through perception. Like, for example, Allah says this wind came and destroyed everything by Allah's command, and they became so that nothing was seen of them except their dwellings. So obviously when Allah says everything was destroyed, is that am literally everything? No, because we still live in the universe, so the universe wasn't destroyed. The sun and the moon weren't destroyed. We can still see them. So bilhis, yani, through perception, we can see that it's saying a general statement that everything was destroyed, but what's intended by it is that those people were killed. It doesn't mean literally everything as in everything in the universe. It means that a certain people, a punishment came to them, and those people were killed and destroyed. So this is clarified. At-takhsis bil-aql, something that is specified through logic, as in, okay, a general statement was made, but logically it must be specific. For example, Allah says, O mankind, worship your Lord, right? Okay, this is a general statement. Everybody should worship their Lord. But logically we know this command doesn't apply to insane people. They can't understand words, right? So therefore you're like, okay, يعني aqlan, logically, there is takhsis here. Yani, O people who are sane, O mankind who is actually sane, right? So these are some examples. A third example is at-takhsis bil-urf wal-ada, specification through custom or through norms. Whenever the Quran or Sunnah refers to a dirham, right? Allah says you have to give this much in terms of a dirham or dinar. we know that the ruling applies to other currencies as well, but you just have to do the conversion rate, right? You have to find out, okay, well, how much was that in gold? Usually gold is the standard, and then you convert it to US dollars based on gold, the gold standard today, right? And then there's takhsis bil ijma', specification through consensus. For example, Allah calls the believers to Jum'ah. However, there is ijma', all scholars agree by ijma' that this does not apply to the slave and to women. So even though Allah says to mankind, you should go to Jum'ah, women have the exception that it's not an obligation. They can come to Jum'ah, but it's not obligatory for them. Servants as well do not have that obligation. Allah Ta'ala also commands the slanderer to be lashed 80 times. However, there's ijma' that a slave gets half of that, only 40 lashes, because they don't have that same weight. Let's keep going. What other, we said there were six, right? So in terms of al-mukhassis, there are at-takhsis biqawl al-sahabi. There is the specification through the companion's statement, through a particular companion's statement. For example, Hanafis and Hanbalis take the actions and statements of the Sahaba as specifications because they wouldn't oppose the Prophet ﷺ. They think that, look, if Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali said something very clearly, clearly they're getting this from the Prophet ﷺ, even if we don't have a narration to prove it. So the example here is the ijtihadat of Umar. Umar, when he was the Khalifa, there was an instance where there was a drought. And because of that drought, people were stealing a lot more. So he did not give the had or the punishment of cutting of the hand because the circumstances were different. So this is part of the ijtihadat. This is part of the, you could say, legal rulings or juristic efforts of Umar. But we take that as something that he must have gotten from the Prophet ﷺ as an exceptional rule. So if you steal this significant amount of money, you get your hand cut. But if there's a drought and people are desperate, then you can make things a little bit more lenient during that specific period of time. And so this is a takhsis bi qawl al-sahabi. This is a specification because of a statement or because of the actions of a sahabi. Same thing with a takhsis bin nas. There can be specification through text itself. So for example, Allah makes the general ruling, divorced women remain waiting for three periods, right? To make sure that she is not pregnant, right? She can't remarry until she has gone through three periods to make sure that she is not pregnant, there's no baby, right? You want to make sure that's clear before she gets remarried, then you don't know who the kid belongs to. However, Allah Ta'ala also specifies the exceptional situation of divorce of a pregnant woman. And by the way, this is in a different surah. So notice that the first one is in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 238. The second one is in Surah Talaq, Surah 65, ayah number 4. Allah specifies that when you're divorcing a pregnant woman, what do you do? He says, and as for those who are pregnant, their term is until they give birth. In other words, the moment they give birth, now they can, inshallah ta'ala, start seeking to get remarried. Why? Because you know she's not pregnant. Because she just gave birth, it's not possible. So the Quran can be specified by the Quran itself. So that's an example of the Quran specifying in a different surah. It can be specified by the Sunnah, and the Hanafis don't allow it for ahad narrations, but the majority do. The Jumhur, they say that even if the narration is ahad, we can still take it as specifying the general. Then, this is the last few slides, inshallah. The specifier of al-mukhassis. The second category is al-mukhassis ghayr al-mustaqil, the non-independent specifier. In other words, it's not independent. Allah Ta'ala makes a general statement and then specifies right after that. So here we have some examples. This refers to when the exception is mentioned with the rule itself. This has four types. Al-istithna'u al-muttasil. So I'm mentioning the exception right away. So Allah says, whoever disbelieves in Allah after he has belief. So if you do become a murtad, if you become a Allah Ta'ala gives you a certain threat, except for the one who is forced. So the am is, you have a certain punishment for leaving your deen, for abandoning your faith, well, except if you did so under duress, right? So the exception is mentioned non-independently, as in right away next to it, in Surah Nahl, ayah number 106. Same thing with ash-shart, the condition. Allah says, and for you is half of what your wives leave if they have no children. So when she passes away, you get half. If she has no children, right? Obviously, if she has children, then you have to divide up the money differently. This is in terms of mirath and inheritance. The third is a sifa, mentioning a quality. And whoever among you cannot find the means to marry free believing women, then he may marry from those whom your right hand possesses of believing slaves. So the quality, it has to be believing slaves. And then, of course, there's al-ghaya. Whenever the word ila, to a certain point, or hatta, until a certain point, that is a limit. So Allah says, O you who have believed, when you rise to perform prayer, wash your hands and your forearms to the elbow. So I could wash my whole arm up to my shoulder, but Allah says, no, all the way up to the elbow, that's the limit. And so therefore it's the arm, no, there's the exception to the elbow, and wipe over your heads and wash your feet to the ankle. So the fact that Allah Ta'ala gives these limits, so you have the ayam, the general, you have the whole arm and the whole leg, and then you have the specific until a certain point. Last slide is what? Disclaimer. Regarding general statements, there's an important legal maxim. Though the important legal maxim is what? Al-ibratu bi'umumi lafzi la bi-khususi sabab. Statements are understood by their generality of their wording, not by the specificity of the reason they were said. So I know that might sound confusing. Let me clarify. There are many different rulings that came down for specific people, right? That somebody did something, and so the ruling came down for that person. But that doesn't mean that that ruling was for that one guy. The ruling is for everybody. So the verse about stealing, when Allah Ta'ala gave the ayah about stealing, it was revealed because of Safwan's theft. Does that just apply to Safwan? No, it applies to every thief. You guys get the point? So it is taken, the statement is understood by the generality of their wording, not by the specificity of the reason they were said. Al-ibratu bi'umumi lafz la bi-khusus sabab. The verse about zihar, you know, when a man says, I'm going to stay married to you, but I will not be intimate with you. So it's this kind of leaving a woman in limbo type of situation. It's an evil practice. Allah Ta'ala called it out. Anyway, this verse about zihar was revealed because of Aws ibn Samit and his wife Khawla bin Tha'laba. So that's the specific reason why it was revealed, but it applies to everybody. No man should do that. If you want to divorce her, let her go so she can go remarry. If you want to keep her, then be with her and be intimate with her and show love to her and pay for her and take care of her, etc., etc. But don't do this thing where you're like, oh, you're still going to remain my wife. I will not let you move on because I cannot see you with another man because you have my children and therefore my kids will, you know, no way I can let the mother of my children ever be with another man. So you're going to stay my wife, but I'm just never going to touch you. I'm never going to look at you. But you're still my wife. This is a very evil thing to do. The verse about Li'an was revealed about Hilal ibn Umayyah, but still Li'an, the mutual cursing when a man accuses his wife of cheating, that they do a mutual curse. This was revealed on a specific sahabi, but the generality still applies. However, they're applied to everyone who falls into these circumstances. I hope that is clear. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khair. Comments, questions are open. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.